Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, thanks for this opportunity. I think as Sandeep was explained earlier on, one of the things we developed as South African Tourism for 2010 is a very tactical campaign that focuses on our people and our culture. We felt that for 2010, one of the things that we want people to remember is the welcoming and friendly nature of our people. And what separates us from the rest of the world is our ability to showcase rhythm and celebration, which people haven't really experienced before around the world. So looking at that concept, the big idea around this concept was focused on dance, because dance is a universal language that people understand around the world. And the relationship to football is we looked at football in South Africa and the uniqueness of South African football moves, which is very unique to the way we play football in South Africa. And the moves in soccer, as you know, are called diski. So what we've done is that we've taken a few soccer moves and we've choreographed it into a dance, hence the diski dance. The real impact of this campaign is will only be felt if all of us as South Africans learn how to do this dance. We are promoting this campaign globally. In this pack, which is marked Marketing Report, 2010 Tourism Organizing Plan, there is a lot of information there that about how this campaign is rolled out in the foreign market, in the global market, as well as in Africa. What we're trying to do now is to roll this campaign out in South Africa. So we had a soft launch of the Fly the Flag for 2010 about a week ago, last Thursday, to all the CEOs of the tourism businesses. And we're calling on not just tourism businesses, but the whole of corporate South Africa to embrace this concept and to roll this dance out within the country. We've had some very exciting responses from organizations like Telkom, who wants to train their 26,000 staff to disky dance. We've had requests from South African breweries, from the likes of MTN, and more organizations as we go through 2010 will start learning this dance. FIFA has adopted the campaign as well, and at the final draw, at the end of this year, the disky dance is going to feature very prominently. So, you know, we try to get as many partners on board as possible. One of the things we developed is a toolkit, which is this red wristband, which all of you have got. It's a USB memory stick, and when you open up this wristband, this is what you're going to see in front of you. So I just thought I'll take you through very quickly what's in this toolkit. What we've done is, over and above the 2010 commercial, which I'll play now, we've also put our brand commercials as well, which are running on CNN and BBC at the moment. And those commercials really give you a sense as to what South Africa has to offer. So whenever you see the 2010 ad that's going to be played on these global media platforms, you will also see these brand ads as well, so that there's a very close relationship to South Africa. So with your permission, Chair, I'd like to show the advert itself for those that haven't seen it.
Demonstrated the same time.
Sorry, we don't have enough sound, so.
Excuse me. I would like also maybe the department teachers out to sing the Vuvuzela, but not leave behind, because other countries were fighting that this Vuvuzela make them not feel comfortable. I think it's important. It's a skill to on our side. So I think the department also prepared the Vuvuzela one.
We hope it is there is that the 2 minutes we say?
It's 1 minute.
1 minute, okay.
That's the advert itself, also on this toolkit, you've got AV that shows you how to do the dance step by step. So I just want to show you what it looks like.
In South Africa, we have different ways of playing football. It's rhythmic, playful, but never boring. We call it EDC, a uniquely township, South African township lingo for football. In this key, every move has a name. Names like Samaya, Extension Card, and Chess, to name a few. We put all these moves together to create a dance that's uniquely South African. So, Zwagala, I just want to show you what I'm talking about. Hola.
Yeah, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but essentially what happens is for each move, there's a little playmate that shows you exactly how to do each move. There's five basic moves, and once you learn the five basic moves, you learn the disky dance. Also on this toolkit, we have a promotional collateral. So this is the 2010 Lifestyle Guide that gives people information about what to do in each old city that's hosting the World Cup. So it's about tourist attractions, it's about the key experiences, the key restaurants, and so forth. And that's been distributed quite widely globally. There's also facts about South Africa. This is sort of basic facts, travel facts, about currency, time difference, etc. And we've also produced a little Z folder map that gives people sort of a sense as to what's going to, in a summarized version, as to what's happening in each whole city. On the back of this guide as well, we're going to put together a Disky Dance Guide, which gives you the moves sketched out, five basic moves sketched out in the guide, so that people will have this as well, which we want to distribute at key events and that type of thing. And then there's all these promotional collateral, pull-up banners, posters. And the idea of this toolkit is that everything on this toolkit is in free form. So our partners can take this and print it and start using it as part of their campaign. You'll see that all of the promotional collateral has got the FIFA logo on it. This has been approved by FIFA, so the campaign itself has been approved by FIFA, and we are actually allowed to use the FIFA logo in all our promotional collateral as well. So, Chair, I just wanted to just give you a sense as to what's on the toolkit.
Thank you.
So what's the next presentation, is it?
No, the Chair, that's all. We've just done, we've collapsed the SA Tourism Grading Council all into one. The other are detailed that we've just handed out.
Okay, thank you. It's over to you, Honourable Members. I think you've been jotting down your questions, and it's your time now.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Chivase, Tawani Josephine, from the Great Limpopo. When listening to the presentation from the department, I'm having a little bit of problem. I don't know whether we are trying to hijack us, that we who are coming from the rural area should feel, covered or somehow. But it appears as if it's true that the rural areas are not covered by this presentation, which that sort of they are somehow disadvantaged. And I expect me, I mean, like I'm saying that I'm from the rural province. Activities, I mean, tourists sometimes really go to rural areas. They go to rural areas in order to be entertained there, to see what actually is happening, because tourism seems like focusing on this, the whole cities only, forgetting about those people who are the background of the cities. So what provision do we have, or what activities will be performed there to attract, because they are interested in this 2010 FIFA? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and apologies for my late show up. I was with the President's delegation yesterday and we only came back today, and I'm sorry I'm late this morning. We've just seen a display of the whatever busy dance. What is its purpose? Is everybody expected to be digi dancing all over the place? Who is it for? What is it? Maybe I caught up with the system midway. I don't know. Maybe I'm asking a question that is going to retard everybody. The second question is, actually, I won't touch that because I was going to ask of what impact is the tourism, is this tourism package to the rural communities? I'm also interested in those communities in South Africa that don't have the stadia that are going to be hosting the matches. What is the spin-off for those kind of, for those areas, barren areas like the Eastern Cape, for instance, the back of the beyond of the Eastern Cape? What provisions has the department made for those people? Thank you, Chairperson. Oh, and also the hospitality industry. Is there no provision made to upgrade the hospitality industry in some of the remote areas, or even in those areas where the matches are going to be staged? Thank you.
The presenter made mention of promoting domestic tourism, which is very important because, as far as I know, the South Africans believe that when you tour, you need to fly over the seas, or you need to be in a, you know, to cruise, forgetting that South Africa is very rich. I'm telling you, it is the most beautiful. It has the places whereby our people can visit. You know, you get to Mpumalanga, it's one of those provinces that excels when it comes to domestic tourism. You get to KZN, you make mention of them. Even Gauteng, you get to those botanical gardens, it's good. So it is just a matter of us as members of this committee to make it a point that we preach the gospel that our people have enough to visit. So, secondly, Chairperson, when it comes to I have a question now to ask. Are we ready? Are we training our South Africans what to prepare in order to benefit the most in 2010? Because they are very much, they just know that, let me just make mention of where I come from, Gauteng. They know, they sell tomatoes to the public, onions, fat cakes, you know. That's how we live. That's where our living is. But now, for a tourist, it's something different. Because a tourist would like to have something going back home to say, I'm from Africa. I'm from South Africa. There's this, what I know, which our rural areas mostly can benefit from. The crafts, the carving, you know. But now, South Africa, let's not depend on other countries. Let's not depend on Zimbabwe, Zambia, you name them, bringing crafts over to whatever. we need to do something too. And as I'm saying, that the rural areas are going to benefit the most, provided we try, help them, and organize them, because they can do the carving. When it comes to craft, they excel. Mm. So now, it's just a matter, Chairperson, of us as this committee to stand on our 2 feet and start teaching the gospel. It's late, of course, but it's never late to man. And when it comes to accommodation, I was looking at this table here, one of the slides. It has figures of different provinces, but I saw Gauteng 0000 and Pretoria, there was 2,000 something. Well, maybe the presenter can just explain why are we having the zeros for Gauteng. Chairperson, I just want to make mention of the national anthem. It was so good when I was listening that we need to practice, make our people know how, they must not mumble. It is so nice because, you know, most of the members, they don't know how to sing the national anthem. Neither do I. It's perfect. Neither do I. It's very important. Most of the time when they say, Mam Zigalala, could you kindly lead us? I have excuses because I know I won't do it 100%. So maybe it's good. Now, I have a question. Will the senior citizens participate in the dance that you have just seen? Manjo, are we going to be part of it? Maybe there can be, something can be introduced where the senior citizens of South Africa can participate, you know. I thank you.
Yes, I think definitely if you want to. The next one is Honorable Mamu Dobe.
Yeah, I have a number of questions, but I think I'm also. I will limit them. Now, firstly, before I start my question, I would like to raise this concern for questions. You know, our meeting was supposed to have been last Wednesday. Fair enough, we got the notice in time. But then, when we came here, 2:05. The meeting was supposed to start at 10. The doors were locked. This gentleman and I were here. I came first, he came after. I remained here for some time. And to hear that there was a notice put on the door from the secretary, I think really it's not fair, because I wouldn't sit here and tell a lie and say there was no notice when there was a notice. There was no notice here. I stayed here for some time just to make sure that I was correct or I was wrong. So I'm just saying, in future, please, let's be notified in time. You can be sure we've been looking forward to this meeting, because the Committee on Tourism, we only met once. This is our second meeting since we started. So we have really been looking forward to it. And for us then, not to get the communication properly, it was rather disappointing. Now, secondly, to the department, some of us are new in your committee, and the department itself is new. But I noticed that you are using quite a lot of abbreviations, acronyms, and we don't know what those acronyms mean. So when you are now alone and you are reading the document, it's all right when you are talking and listening, but you don't get all of it as you are talking. Now, when you are alone and you read the document, some parts of it will not be meaningful. So I would really request that somewhere we have, you know, a glossary of the acronyms that are often used by the department, and that will give us a meaning to whatever we do. Having said that, now with the presentation itself, I must say it's very optimistic. It's a very optimistic department. I've read the previous report as well. There are quite a lot of good that has happened. I think we must accept that. And I notice even now you are still very optimistic. But you can be sure we are going to watch you and watch you very carefully to see whether really the thing that we are promising us will happen, will actually happen. Now, already, you are talking about a decline in terms of, I think, the tourist industry, a 2.5% decline, particularly with the air market, to say. But at the same time, you are optimistic, you know, as if the global recession is not going to affect the industry that terribly. I don't know what really makes us to be so optimistic. I would be worried if, for instance, we put these figures only to find that actually it's not what we had expected. But of course, obviously, the land market has to be encouraged. I think the people who have talked about the rural development and tourism, for example, we are actually referring to this area, that the land market needs to be improved. So that those people we keep talking about who have been disadvantaged before can also gain from this industry, which so far seems to have grown at a very good pace, while others, for instance, were not doing so well. But the fact of the matter is that in the rural areas, very little is really happening, if anything at all. And by rural areas, I come from the Eastern Cape too. I don't mean East London. I don't mean Port Elizabeth. I mean the actual village out there, where, for instance, the history of the country is so rich, but people there don't benefit from the industry of tourism. So for me, the question of distribution, the question of universal access, the question of coordination at provincial and local level is very, very important. I think it's a big challenge, because unless you can do that, and for the people out there, who are so many, there are very many of them out there in the rural area, they will never, it will just remain a dream that there is this beautiful and growing industry of tourism in the country. It will just have no meaning, they will not benefit from it. I know, I come from an area where people have been trying to attract tourists. Number one, we don't even have the good roads, and so there are no tourists that are going to come down there. Number two, most of those projects which the ordinary people try in the rural areas, at some point they just die away because I think they're not able to fund them so that they are sustainable. And secondly, some of them are saying it is actually impossible to move on because marketing, which apparently is a very important area in tourism, I think as you are also telling us here, they say it's very expensive. And they ask a question, who is going to come to an area if they don't know? I mean, there is something, what tourist is going to come, let's say for instance, to visit Zambia's grave, if they don't know that at some particular point in South Africa, there is this interesting tourist attraction. So the question of marketing also, you will have to help us there. I'm also interested in the training, the skills development. I think it's a good idea. I learned that actually when I read one of the reports that you actually have tourism as a subject in the school. Fine, that is good. But I think we must check the level of that training. It's one thing to say there is a subject called tourism, but it's another actually producing the quality people from that training. So I would urge the department, working with the Department of Education, to actually check whether really what is being taught there is something that is going to help us promote the industry tourism. And another point then, while I'm talking about the schools, in promoting domestic tourism, You know, we have school children, for example, with arranging some outing. You know, it's something very common in the high school. Around about December, they arrange some outing after their exam or just before their matric exam. But you find that they go to the beach, all of them. They go to the beach and then they just swim and go back home. And it happens from year on and year on. The question is, why can't we tell that and encourage the school to take the children to places of interest where they can learn about their country rather than spending the day enjoying the sun, which is so plentiful anyway in South Africa, but they can visit places of interest and places that will enable them, you know, to also to get to know their country better, because we will not be able to succeed in promoting domestic tourism unless people know that there is something to be visited, there's some place to be visited, there's some place that is interesting there and there and there. And I think we can catch the school market right from the beginning here, because they are there already. They go out every December, go to their school, parents collect money, send their children there, but it's always to the school side. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mom Jones.
Oh, yes, Chairperson, just one more thing, I'm sorry. On training as well, the question of the people who are being trained as tourist guides or as the ambassadors, whatever you give the name for 2010, how do you recruit them? Because I've never heard of anyone talk about it in the area where I live, and yet we are interested in tourism. We've got so many of these young people who have not completed, or who have completed matric, but probably have not been accepted in institutions of higher learning. I'm just wondering whether they wouldn't be able to benefit, for instance, through projects like this. How do you train? How do you? What criteria do you use to get these people, these 15,000, these 4,000, and so on and so forth? Would like our people in the rural areas also to benefit from that. Thank you,
thank you. Thank you. The next would be Honorable Krumbok and then Honorable Zulu. Then we will allow for to respond.
Thanks, Chair. I've got a few questions of clarity and then three more substantive questions. On the market share slide, mention was made that tourism has created another 1 million jobs. My impression is that was actually what the employment contribution was to our country. So if you could just clear that up, is it 1 million new jobs or 1 million jobs in total? Your slide seems to indicate that it's actually 1 million jobs in total. Also, there was mention made in 2010 that the department is expecting 3 million participants. Figures do vary, but it seems as if we're going to get between 450,000 and 550,000 people coming here. So I take it what that meant was that a participant is someone who's defined as someone who attends an event. So I assume you're assuming each tourist is going to visit maybe or attend 5 or 6 games. Can we just clear that up as well? then the figures to do with the Confed Cups in the previous years, you mentioned 30,000 and 34,000 for Korea, South Korea, Japan, and France. I'm actually astounded that those figures are what they are. I mean, I remember watching all of the finest games when they played in France, and their games alone would have attracted more than 30,000 people, never mind the total for the tournament. So are we not perhaps having a decimal place in the wrong position? And it seems as if there's far more people than 30,000 that went to France than to South Korea. Okay, so those are just small questions on clarity. Now, my more substantial questions are these. On one of your slides, you spoke about the number of rooms, 35,000 rooms contracted out as required by MATCH, and then another 116,000 rooms from other establishments. Now, that looks like a total of about 150,000 rooms. We're expecting maybe 500,000 people. World Cups are generally held in the Northern Hemisphere. The last two World Cups were held in the Southern Hemisphere were in 1978 in Argentina and 1962 in Chile. And I can't remember whether it held in summer or winter, but it's still held in summer, and this will be the first World Cup ever that will actually be held in winter. And it is also true that many of the football fans that come out and attend World Cups like to rough it a bit. And they sleep in caravan parks, sometimes they sleep in park on park benches. They really do sort of travel around with a backpack and a sleeping bag, and they live in quite difficult conditions most of the time. Our winters are very harsh, particularly on the high side. And I was wondering where the other 350,000 beds are going to come from. Are we expecting these people to stay in backpackers? Is that not included in the figures? Are we, in fact, accepting that they're going to be staying in caravan parks or similar establishments, or are we expecting a lot of them to sleep out in the open, in which case what kind of arrangements are being made to prevent a possible tragedy there? Then the second last question I have is on the Confed Cup, the ticketing system. You know, it was actually almost impossible to get a ticket for the Confed Cup. It was so complicated going through that website and trying to find a ticket. A lot of people at Anna just gave up. And that's a tragedy, because I think it was a well-organized tournament, and you can justly take a lot of credit for the role that your department had in that competition. Now, I would understand that that perhaps is somewhat out of your hands, but is there going to be a simpler system for 2010 next year? I mean, I've applied for my tickets. I managed to get 5, I'm pleased to say, but nothing beyond the quarterfinal. It's actually quite hard. But I hope that if there are tickets left over for some of the less popular games, it's going to be easy for South Africans and indeed other people to get the tickets. Right. Then the last question I have, Chairperson, is on the British Lions tour. I know a separate mention was made in the presentation here today about how it was a relative success. I want to say to you that in one aspect it was catastrophic, and that is coordinating the people moving around the country on the night before, the day before the game. I was at Cape Town International the day before the Johannesburg test, and it really was an embarrassment to be South African. These people shoved around, massively long queues, flights delayed, people getting very uptight because they're missing their flights, a lot of people being physically aggressive with each other because they were upset having paid a lot of money to get out here and they were missing their flights. And there was no extra people to actually let them get their boarding passes. There was no extra machines to x-ray their luggage as they went through. So the entire situation was bottlenecked. I mean, it took me an hour from the queue, and I mean, I'm an MP. I mean, it took me an hour to stand in the queue to get to the front of the queue, and I arrived an hour and a half before the flight. I almost missed my flight. When we got onto the tarmac, we couldn't take off because there weren't enough air traffic controllers provided, and as you may know, every air traffic controller has a certain limit to the number of planes that it can control. And if there's more planes than air traffic controllers, the planes are delayed. Now, I can't imagine what's going to happen when we have 10 times that amount of people for the World Cup. We have that kind of congestion at our airports. It's going to be a very, very poor advertisement for our country, not to mention a scandalous international reputation that we're going to develop. So I'd like some clarity on what steps have been taken to prevent a recurrence of that. And then lastly, I think what this department has shown us today, and it's certainly coming through in much of the briefings we've had and the statements made by the Minister, I think people do realize now that 2010 is not actually about 2010. It's about the next 30 years of tourism that we're going to generate for our country. So 2010 is a once-in-a-lifetime lasting exactly 30 days opportunity to market our country to the world and to tell people this is a very, very desirable tourist destination. Now, you know, you don't get a second chance to make a first good impression. And if there's one thing that breaks my heart traveling around South Africa, it's the amount of litter that we have. I live in one of the filthiest cities in the country, Maritzburg, I'm sorry to say. And it's heartbreaking when you go down the main street fairs, the main streets in Maritzburg, we have the Statue of Gandhi. You have the railway station where he was thrown off the train. I mean, we're famous for all the wrong reasons in many ways for Maritzburg. But you see taxis going along, and people literally, as they go along, throwing plastic bags, Kentucky, Nando's, things out of the windows. And the city's filthy by the time it gets to 5 o'clock every day. You know, that's exactly the kind of thing that's going to tell tourists, I'm never coming back here again. And I was very concerned to see that only 63% of the people that attended the Confed Cup say they want to come back again. Now, that's a very low percentage when you consider that much more people want to come to the World Cup as opposed to the Confed Cup. So I suspect that what that statistic is telling us is a lot of people found our country quite filthy and quite dirty, and compared to the previous World Cups where the countries were spotlessly clean, perhaps they didn't have the experience that they might have wanted. And I wonder if there's anything, and you made the point one of the earlier slides, Madam, that obviously you have to work with other departments, and you can't control what happens in the security field, for example, in the health field. But is there some kind of interdepartmental coordination which has as one of its objectives possibly having a drive within our own country, amongst our own people, let's clean up our cities and let's clean up our country in time for 2010. So we create the best possible impression, almost as a patriotic thing, which every political party could sign on to and it could all be part of the solution. So I just feel that's the one thing that's going to leave people a very bad impression. The plastic bags flying around, the fact that our cities are very, very dirty, particularly our CBDs. Is there anything we can do to actually smarten up before 2010? Thank you very much, Chair, for your indulgence.
Thanks very much, Chair. Honourable Prince.
Thank you, Chair. A lot has been said on this presentation we listened today, but I was worried about the numbering document about pages. I think of the cut and paste, some of the pages got the numbers, some are not, which makes it very, very difficult to follow up the whole thing. Maybe in future it can be wise enough just to put pages. I think everybody, when it comes to this event, must take part. They say the whole country, all political parties, nobody to blame each other, but the main thing is just to, how are we going to cooperate to make this event successful? I was worried, Chair, recently, I think this month, when the President appointed the National Commissioner, we all cry about the crime in South Africa. When a new National Commissioner put on table how is he going to deal with the crime, political parties and leaders of certain organizations and human rights people were against that, whereas everybody is crying in South Africa that the crime is always next to each and every person. When each and every person leaves his house, not a single one ever say, I am leaving this house for good. But this happened. You leave your house thinking that you say, I'm coming back, I'll see you later. But on the road, you might involve yourself with an accident, or the crime might catch you up. But I'm quite impressed that if tourism can take this as a first priority when we're going for this. Because we have so few police to calm down this crime in the country. I'm from the rural. We have only one police station in the whole district. When you report a crime in the morning, you might find that you might get a police to attend that maybe after lunch. But that shows the difficulty that you are facing in this country. But we need our visitors, our tourists, when they come down, they want to be safe, and we want them to see them saved and go back, and even ourselves who are so included in that. The roads, when it goes to the rural outside, you'll find that in most of the thing we're talking about the urban, the cities, but which means that you are showing one side of the country or one face of the country. We're not showing the whole country where we're staying. We're calling South Africa. the roads are so bad in such a way that when you are driving there, you find it is so pain that you maybe you can't even think that you might get to a destination just because of the condition of the road. And we need, that's why I say we need all departments, everybody must be on board on this. Because we don't need one section or one department just to say that I'm going to do this. I think everybody must go, we must come together to make this event successful. Coming to the rural again, it seems as if when we're talking, we accommodate mostly the people in the urban areas. Like this disky dance, I have my own culture. I know it. I can sing. Even when I'm dreaming, I dream about it, my own culture. So we are not featured anywhere on the presentation. You have mentioned that some of the big, like Eskom, Telkom, so on, they want you to put a lot of money to train the people regarding this disky dance. But what about our own culture? I think people from outside our country, they want to see the real picture of South Africa. Go to Eastern Cape, you find them when they're dancing, they're doing this, what you call Mama Njobe. You go to Limpopo, you find the beautiful thing they're doing. Come to KZN, and we excel it. I can start singing now without anybody to assist me. But we have this, we need the department to put money to support our people, mm-hmm. so that when the outside world come to South Africa, they will say we are from Africa, not from Europe,
mm-hmm.
because they want to experience what is happening in this country. Another thing, you know, there are places in the rural where there is no electricity. When you go to the rural, you will find the young boy, they have their own soccer ground all over, on the road, on the field, anywhere. But when the match starts, they are not going to have a privilege to go to the big cities to see the match. Only one thing that can assist them to have electricity and have TVs and sit down and observe and look to the matches. Now we have a problem when we go to the rural. I attended one meeting when they demanded the electricity on that settlement. They told me on the meeting that three boys have been killed by snakes in the evening just because they move out to look on the other settlement where they have electricity to see the match on their TVs, then they come back in the evening. And this is the problem we're experiencing when you go to the rural. And there's a lot that we're in short space of time now, but we need everybody to cooperate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. From the outset, I think the department said that they need a lot of support from other departments as well. So clearly, in their response, there are things that will need engagement with other departments. And secondly, in our oversight, I think we are also going to engage with other departments like police, conservation, that is environment and so forth. For instance, when I was presenting to a group of American conservationists about 2 weeks ago, they asked me, in this World Cup, are we going to have packages including visits to our game parks, because of the interest they had on our different biomes, which means different setups for different animals, habitats, different habitats and different animals in different parts of South Africa. And perhaps that should be the part of our food for thought, either as a department and as members and or as ambassadors for South Africa. But I think there should be packages including those Kruger National Park and the different parks, and explaining also more, because it looks like in other countries people are much more versed in environment and in environmental issues. But over to you.
Thank you, Jane, and my colleagues for helping out. Perhaps just to start by saying, and I would like Sandiswa just to sort of elaborate on that. As far as the department's new focus and its functions, in our establishment, we are creating a specific directorate that's going to deal with rural development. Because we realize that there's a need for that, and our Deputy Minister and Minister are very much involved in that, and we also would like to see that our social responsibility program are focusing on rural development and rural tourism development. I think the challenges we're having is, as you rightly say, is that a lot of the road infrastructures and those sort of things fall within the provincial mandates, and we as a department need to work hard to make sure that development is also taking place. So, and I think that Sandiswa can sort of elaborate on that one. The second issue I just want to sort of highlight is that since the Federation Cup, there was quite a few bilaterals being taken up by the Minister and the Deputy Minister with the FIFA Organizing Committee. There's also bilaterals set up with the South African Airways, with EXA, to address some of the problems that was experienced during the Confederation Cup as well as the Lions Tour. I've had the same experience going back from Cape Town after a meeting here. I have to sort of wait in queues for a while around the Lions, and I think there were some issues around that. So although I think our presentation is quite positive, we want to be positive as South Africans, but we also realize there is sort of some areas that we need to sort of have good collaboration. On waste management, just to say, that is one of the target areas of our mother department at this stage, Environment Affairs. And Minister Sonjika has already embarked on a campaign around cleaning South Africa. There's an issue about waste management, how we deal with our waste. So there was a breakaway session with the Minister and the Deputy Minister, with the colleagues from water and environment to deal with those issues. And we from tourism side is going to work very closely with them around that. I think that is one of our big concerns, not only in specific areas, but also how the waste was managed during the events. And our department, tourism and environment, are both on the local organizing committee to deal with the waste management, specifically around stadiums. Although I know that you are referring broader than just the sort of that one. Perhaps also just to say that a lot of our presentation has focused around where we're looking at the specific areas or the locations where the events will take place. So I think the accommodation and Sandiswa can talk to that one. And then I would like to ask Lisa, just to deal with the issue about the SMME developments, that question that was raised. But I will hand over to Sandiswa, and I think we can just sort of run through that. Sandiswa.
Thank you very much, DJ. In terms of rural tourism, how we sell tourism in South Africa is that we sell experiences, and those experiences are what South Africa has to offer, and they happen to be in both urban and rural areas. But what I can say is that we have not zoomed into saying that we focusing on rural tourism? And as the acting DDG has said, what we're going to do moving forward, now that we are a Department of Tourism, we will have in place a directorate responsible for rural tourism, whose role will be to understand what exists out there, what are the challenges that are making people in the rural areas not feeling the tourism that is felt in the urban areas. And that will enable us to focus. And I think it's an opportunity moving from a branch to a department to really zoom on key issues that are critical. And I think moving forward, rural tourism, and we've made provision for that because we understand that sometimes when you're a branch, you just one part, you know, that now that we're a Department of Tourism, we just need to ensure that we just go big on really unpacking what does rural tourism mean. But in addition to that, as a department, we've just advertised the appointment of a service provider to help us to develop a strategy for culture, heritage, and social history tourism. And we often view that it is only through those niche tourism that you can touch more people. And we're going to be going big. We're going to be going to all the corners of South Africa and identifying what makes us unique as a South Africa, because it's only those things that will differentiate us. And we accept as a department that we have not done much in terms of zooming into the culture, into the heritage, into the social history, which makes us a South Africa. But the good news is that the process is underway, and we will engage the honorable members in that process so that we begin to tap into those hidden stories that will make South Africa a unique destination. As this industry is a dynamic industry, and we of the view that as we grow together with the committee and the new department, we will be in a position come next year to proudly say that we've been to all corners of South Africa, and this is what is making South Africa unique. And the good news is that there is work in progress on that, on just dwelling on the social, culture, and heritage of South Africa, which is going to make sure that more people participate. In the past, we've mainly focused on the environment, etc., nature-based tourism, but we haven't done on the culture and heritage, which is something that we're going to be doing moving forward. That will ensure that Mama in the Eastern Cape who's making craft is part of the industry. But it's more how we're looking at this thing. It's beyond just looking from the craft. We saw that the creative industry, which is bigger than just craft and people selling craft, which is about talents that we have in music, in dancing, in telling our stories, and in unique things that you cannot find. Where else in the world have you seen the Rain Queen? Have we capitalized on things like that? So we will be zooming on those small things that makes us unique, that will make people want to come to South Africa. And we hope to work with the committee in helping us to get to those people and package those stories and take it out there. And I hope that will address issues around culture and heritage tourism and also taking forward rural tourism. And then I think that's basically on the rural and culture. And then also, it will also help us to identify what are the challenges related to infrastructure, because if we don't have a strategy in place, then it becomes difficult to engage with other departments in a vacuum. And we're hoping that with the development of a strategy, if we say we want to unlock opportunity in a particular area, but there's no road, because people are not going to go to an area where there's no road. But if we've done proper analysis, it will be much easier for us to say to the Department of Public Works, Department of Transport, there is an opportunity there. But what is blocking that opportunity is the fact that we do not have enough road. Road is not adequate for visitors to go there. So we will be more equipped to engage in a more meaningful way so that we can get what we want from other departments with the best strategy in place. And then in terms of domestic tourism, I cannot agree more. Last week, the minister released statistics on domestic tourism, which was on the media, and the figures were indicating that there has been growth in terms of domestic tourism. But when you zoom into the growth, you find that people are still visiting friends and relatives. they are not visiting the beautiful attractions that we have in South Africa. So what we're saying is that now that we are reviewing the national sector strategy, we should be going boldly to people out there to say, we've got such a beautiful country with 9 provinces with a lot to offer. So rather than saying people must go home, because people are leaving, they're working in Joburg, they're going to Eastern Cape, those are not tourists, but they're going home because there's no job in their particular area. Mm-hmm. How do we then begin to showcase attractions so that people don't? I'm one of those, I go home, I'm from KwaZulu-Natal, so I'm counted as a tourist, because when I go home to Port Elizabeth, I'm counted as, but I'm not a tourist, I'm just visiting my mother because that's my home. But I should be visiting interesting places around it. And we are going to be reviewing the domestic tourism for South Africa so that we begin to say to South Africans, we have more than a beach, which people only visit in December. Most of the time, 1 December, that's especially Africans. We Africans, we go to the beach 1 December, and it's got such a beautiful coast area that you can enjoy 365 days, but we don't go there because we only go there in December. How do we change the culture so that more people can enjoy what we have? But it's more than the beach, it's the culture, it's the different things that are there in provinces. So we will be looking at our domestic strategy moving forward. And I think another issue, the litter, I think the DD has indicated to that. We had what is called Greening 2010. And we need to talk about that. And I think it goes back to the issue that I've raised around how things have been funded. Greening 2010 was bigger than just focusing on host cities and making sure that they are clean. It was about making sure that South Africa is clean, it's environmentally friendly. But it was one of those projects that just was seen as a softer issue because it's not a stadium. And I think from our side, from the tourism side, we need to push for that to come back to the radar, because without that, we will make people live with the wrong impression of what South Africa is about. So maybe the Greening Tourism, Greening 2010 program should be elevated to a level of not just focusing on greening stadia. How do we make our country, it looks at waste management, it looks at responsible use of water and energy, etc. And maybe it needs to come back and really move into that. And then I think, the ambassador, there was a question around the relevance of training. There's a study that we have undertaken, honorable members, on why with the loss of learners that are doing tourism, you don't have people getting employed in tourism. The findings are very interesting. Maybe we need to, on the problem, because with this report, we just clubbing everything in one. It doesn't go into detail. Maybe we need to take that report back, because we've done a survey in terms of why are learners who are studying tourism not being employed in the industry. One of the challenges is the fact that what is led is a disjuncture between what is taught and what the industry requires. And then we need to then, as a department, engage with the Department of Education around how we resolve those issues. But there's that very report which is in place that we would like to share with the committee members on that in detail. Maybe we can put it on the program because it's detailed. It gives the picture how many learners and why and all that information. The question on ambassador training. The ambassador training, we are collaborating with the organizing committee and data in terms of training. So there has been, in the media, there's been a process to invite people to apply to participate as volunteers. So when we come to training, there's a public process whereby it's announced that for 2010, we will need 15,000 ambassadors. For Confederations Cup, we only needed 4,000. But for the World Cup, we will need 15,000. So there's a process underway to recruit that. And we can make that information available because it talks about the criteria, how old should you be, what sort of expertise are required, etc. And that information is available, and we can make it available to members in that regard. And then there was a question around the issue of the market share in terms of jobs. The slide was talking to the fact that this is the indirect and direct contribution of tourism to jobs, and in a cumulative sense. As we're sitting now, tourism in South Africa is creating more than 1 million jobs, directly and indirectly. But if you look at directly, we're sitting at 600,000. But if you look at the indirect, because if somebody is the shops, other things that are not called tourism are integrated there. So that's the figure, which is 8% of the jobs in South Africa. But
total jobs,
yes, total jobs. Yes, that's what it is. And then with respect to the 3 million participants versus 450, when we talk about 3 million participants, we're talking about people who will be participating. That will include the teams, local people, going to stadia, etc. But when it comes to international visitors, it is anticipated that we might get plus or minus 450,000. So there will be 3 million participants, but a third of which will be international visitors, which is projected at 450,000. International visitors. So participants can be South Africans going to stadiums and moving interprovincially, etc. But the international visitors during the World Cup who will come from outside for the World Cup is 450,000. But that is exclude people who would have come to South Africa around that period. Because in terms of the normal statistics around that period, we usually welcome 300,000. Visitors. So we're looking at international visitors around 750 around that period. So 450 only for soccer. And with respect to the statistics for Confederation Cups and etc., what we were talking, we're not talking about the World Cup. Confederation Cup is usually a rehearsal kind of a event. It's not like 2010. So in most cases, people, like in Korea, Japan, there was limited number of participants there, whereas in other countries, but in Germany, we were able, but the good news is that in South Africa, we were able to fill the stadium during the Confederation Cup, which is more of a dress rehearsal kind of a thing. So the figures were just showing that as a country, we didn't do badly in terms of participation. We were just number two to Germany, which got more, 2% more than us. But it wasn't talking about the World Cup, it's just the Confederation Cup.
I can just quickly add on to that. You will recall as well that the Confederation Cup is actually fairly new. It started in 92. And what happened with the first two is that they were not actively promoted as the Germany one and the one that we had. And so the low participation
in Korea and Japan. And then in terms of the statistics for match versus V, the graded ones. So that slide was trying to say match is a company appointed by FIFA to contract accommodation establishments and then sell and then include a markup on that one. So they are a company that is selling accommodation on behalf of FIFA. So in order for an establishment to be contracted, they need to sign a contract. And the contract that they need to sign has some conditions. Some of the businesses are saying, we're not going to sign because during that period, we already have clients that we have, so we're not signing. So there is that issue that FIFA wants 55,000 rooms signed so that they can accommodate their team, their VIPs, their sponsors, etc. But as a country, we still have to accommodate fans that will be coming around. So the slide that we put there was just saying that, okay, this is what FIFA requires, but as a country, we have enough to accommodate people. But what we've shown here is just only graded. What we're currently doing now is that we're doing an inventory of both graded and ungraded. By the end of September, we'll have a clearer picture in terms of how much inventory do we have both graded and ungraded. So the 116,000 rooms, it's just graded. But we know that Grading Council only has the 50% share of accommodation establishment in South Africa. So we will have more, but we want to make that information available so that we don't tell the world that we do not have enough accommodation. And I think we've covered the issues of the Lions. I think with some of the issues that are, we've taken forward to the lessons learned from events. But I think we know also we shouldn't be too critical around our airport. We are under construction. It's going to have some positive spin-off for the country. When the Lions Cup, Lions Tour took place, Cape Town Airport is under construction. So when you have that event big as is and under construction, it's likely that you will encounter such challenges. But we're optimistic that come 2010, if all constructions have been completed, then you will have flow. If you've been to Johannesburg, it looks so beautiful. There was a time when it was a challenge to move around Johannesburg. But now with the completion, so we should not be harsh on us. Some of the time we have to just understand that we just have to be too busy and make sure that we build our, we'll be stuck in traffic, we'll have airports, but the good thing is that come 2010, we will have a country where we will all be proud of. So So I think for my side, so those are just issues that I felt that I needed to raise. And I think the chairperson indicated the fact that we will need collaboration and support from other departments, because tourism, if you want to grow tourism, you need transport. But that doesn't fit within us. It fits with transport. If you want to secure visitors, you need police. If you want to have accessible infrastructure, you need public works, etc. So that kind of interdepartmental coordination is important. But we do sit in the Interministerial Committee on 2010. We also have the cluster where we begin to engage them on the sector strategy and say, what are the implications of the strategy on these other departments moving forward? But it's not an easy process, especially when you work in tourism, because you're not in control, but you're in control. So you need to get buy-in and build relationships and let them understand the value that the tourism is going to bring. And with the creation of the new department, we're hoping that other departments are going to realize that this country is taking tourism seriously, that they need to support it. And all the district does.
I do not know whether there is any question that has not
Accommodation.
Accommodation.
Yeah. And then Sugen must say the dance.
The Gauteng one, if you look, Mama, if you look into the slide, Gauteng is divided. There are two host cities. The zero is the fact that we provide there's Pretoria and Johannesburg. But the top slide on the top, Gauteng is accommodated. The figures for rooms are on the slide. But that zero, if you look, there's Gauteng, and then there's Gauteng without the zero because it's broken down into two. There's Johannesburg inventory, and then there's Pretoria inventory. But the figure is there. So that zero, it's not like there's no rooms, but it's put under there so that you break it into two. I think the slide, if you look on top, it is there.
Thank you. Just
1 minute. Okay, Mom, just to respond, and then let us quickly allow the other one and then the marketing side of it.
Thank you. Just on accommodation, I just wanted to hear more about the B&Bs. Are we still looking forward using the B&Bs? Maybe we have withdrawn them.
This way to B&Bs and Bs. Nature's playing B&Bs and type of thing.
Yes, the B&Bs are part of the inventory that we have. So, like I said when I did the presentation, for the first time ever in the history of the World Cup, they have allowed the use of non-hotel establishments. So those are B&Bs. So they will be part of what is going to be part of 2010. And in terms of maybe Nivasi can help, how many of them have been contracted today? I think that's 8,000. We've got 8,037 B&Bs that have been contracted to date, and they were requiring 10,000. So it means that we're doing fairly well in that regard. What we're not doing is the issue of homestays, because I know that that's another challenge. Because people, homestays, and people, we often view that there are people who've invested in this industry, and they are creating sustainable jobs in the industry. As a department, we've taken a position that we're not, at this point, support the use of homestay because they've opened up the B&Bs. But in the event that we feel that there's inadequate accommodation out there, then we will put minimum standards around it. But we don't want a situation like the World Sustainable WSSD. Sustainable development. People don't do it because they were promised, people upgraded their houses and they put so much into improving and had bank loans, and people didn't go there. And it was a big challenge. So with this event, we want to avoid a situation of saying, go for it, put this in your house so that you can be part of it, because we don't want to create expectations that are not going to be met. So we are very cautious on that matter.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question about training South Africans in terms of 2010. From TEP's perspective, we don't only train for 2010, we train beyond 2010 as well. Because it's fine to say that our small businesses, our tourism small businesses, must benefit from 2010, but if they don't have the capacity to accept those benefits and they don't have the capacity to deliver to the right quality, there are already negative perceptions around tourism small businesses. You would just continue to what's the word I'm looking for? Reinforce those negative perceptions. So we train for 2010 and beyond 2010. In this financial year, we're looking at training around 5,000 tourism small businesses in terms of SA Host, in terms of business skills, and also on mentorship. And this is also just to ensure that the tourism small businesses still exist during 2010. There was also a question around crafters. The Tourism Enterprise Partnership has a craft retail program. We're looking at facilitating market access for our crafters and also mentoring them. We understand that we don't have the artistic skills, so we can't train them how to do craft. They have the skills, the artistic skills. But what they don't have generally is the business skills. So that's what we train them on, business skills, and also to facilitate market access. We realize that buyers don't want to interact with 300 crafters. They'd rather interact with one organization. So TEP acts as that organization that buyers will interact with to facilitate sales. And we're looking at facilitating about 3,000 sales this financial year.
Just on the Disky Dance, I think that, as I said in my presentation, the reason why we've come up with this type of campaign is that the research that we undertook to understand the experiences that soccer fans will be looking for, whether they travel to South Africa or around the world, are basically fans that want to have a good time, you know. And one of the things that we found in our research was that people that haven't been to South Africa, strangely enough, find us to be very unwelcoming. But when they do come to South Africa, it's a totally different story altogether. So the kind of image that we wanted to project in the mind of those consumers that are going to be watching the World Cup, and that may not necessarily come to South Africa, is an image that we are a nation that's full of rhythm, a nation that's full of rhythm, of passion. We know how to have a good time. And when you, if you do decide to come here for the World Cup, this is the kind of atmosphere you're going to enjoy at our stadiums, a very celebratory type of atmosphere. So that's the reason why we've come up with the Disky Dance concept. And the dance itself is very easy to learn. I mean, what you see in the ad is very different from how you learn the dance. There's five basic steps. We've simplified it even further. So, yes, even a senior citizen can learn the dance. You found that the group of people that were performing the dance in the ad are people from different age groups, from diverse backgrounds. It really showcases our diversity as a nation. And it's something that's common to everyone as South African. I've made a note, though, of the comment that was made around understanding our culture as South African and the link between what's happening in the rural areas and urban culture. And I've made that note. And I think that that's one of the things that we'd probably look at going forward is as to how do we integrate this concept with what's happening in the rural areas and how do we bring those cultures out through this Disky Dance. I think there is a way of integrating that. It's just a matter of implementing it and bringing it to life. I hope I've answered those questions.
Chandler, the question on the game parks, quickly, yes, they are part of the packages, and even Sun Parks has been contracted. Some of the rooms that you have, it includes rooms in the park. But you also understand that there might be people who might not be interested in soccer. So we also view that as a beautiful country that we have, we're not going to just be promoting around the time people coming just for soccer. But if people feel that they're not into soccer, then we've got beautiful game parks where they can relax and not feel the noise, so that we don't lose those people. So it's part of communicating what South African products we have. And game parks and Transfrontier parks are critical to that, and they're included into packages.
The last one will be Honorable McCarthy, except if some questions have not been adequately responded to. McCarthy and Marilege. The business Marilege. Okay, thanks. Then you, Marilege.
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Chair. I think I wasn't very clear in my projection of this question. I'm trying to unpack it. there has been information circulating, I don't know how authentic and how real it is, that the Department of Industry and Tourism, in conjunction with yourself, is going to be giving out subsidies to people to upgrade their hospitality establishments. How far true is that? And what is the criteria? Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it is also in line with what Mamu Farm is saying. There are B&Bs that were evaluated, then entered what to do in there to improve their things. But, you know, they don't know when we did a small annual survey in our community, checking these B&Bs. Saying that we were told to do this, we have done this, and we don't get any subsidies. And now we don't even know, when we're asking about this grading thing, we don't know even know who is grading people and how. And if it's their funds needed, we don't know how much are we supposed to be paid to be graded. That is a challenge. And also here in this thing, the exact thing that you said, there are six graduates that will be trained in Canada for this type of. I wanted to check, how did they get those six people? How did you want to? Otherwise, all my other questions are asked. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. The other question is covered by Honorable Marcus on how the information on the grading part. Most of our rural businesses in hospitals, they don't have information on gradings. And the other one is the monitoring on the department project, because we were having the heritage park at Makapangstad. It was funded for more than 3 or 6 years, but it hasn't started even this year. So the monitoring part is not much monitored. I want to know the department, how many on your training, on the numbers, how many are disabled? Because most of us, we forget the disabled people on our programs. Thank you.
Okay. I think before first you respond, I think there is also a part of the market which is the low cost market. During the olden days, there was an establishment like Aventura, where working class people and sort of not the wealthy ones used to go. Is the private sector accommodating that one, or that is there a need for the government then to create the infrastructure to start operating at that level? Because it looks like we target only the rich and the victorious. For instance, I am a member of Quality Vacation Club. If you want to make a booking for South Coast, Natal Coast, South Coast accommodation, you need a waiting period for about 1.5 years or 2 years before you get accommodation in Margate and Devon South or East London or Cape Town in December. So, but accommodation is available in the cold and wet Cape Town. In winter, because it is literally empty. So now, how do we work out this seasonality? Because I think that is the restraining factor when it comes to tourism. Have we looked at it? And lastly, coming to training, South Africa takes about 14 to 15 years to train a teacher. About 15 years to train a nurse.
And in Australia, what I found was that tourism aspects like waitering and catering and some aspects of tourism are taught at high school. It's one of the subjects. And then you do your practicals during the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than people waiting till they complete matric, and then you start training for a profession. And we looked into that, like we used to do with teaching. You could become a teacher in 12 years' time if mm-hmm. your parents were poor and were eagerly waiting on you to provide income. But the period now has been extended. So now, are we not insensitive to the time cost, the cost in terms of time, and the cost in terms of the money that parents pay to get their children economically productive? And perhaps wouldn't we assist each other in convincing the relevant department to take a line that say a person is equipped to be part of tourism after matric, equipped to be part of waitering, equipped as part of tour guiding, as matric, that type of thing, crafts, basic business skills in crafts, not pure accounting, not pure economics, but practical things. You learn just graph supply and demand. That one is okay on its own. But for an economy that needs skilled people, after say standard 10 and or perhaps what used to be JC and then now is matric, wouldn't we consider as a nation to skill some of these people and have them having their matric on one end, but also being ready to provide these types of services? It was just a thought. And then I've heard from the committee secretary here that Lucas Kadewe was made the ambassador of tourism by the Minister of Tourism last week. Mm-hmm. If that is true, he's a welcome candidate for ambassadorship. He's a real gentleman in soccer. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm proud to have it as an ambassador as well. So over to you, guys.
Thank you, Jay. I'm going to ask Grady now to respond to the issues around the evaluation of the MBAs and how the graded system work. And I think that at a later stage we can sort of give us sort of detailed information through of how the graded system works to all members. And then Sandipa will respond. Just to say, as far as the Aventuras is concerned, as in your last remarks, Jay, I think that was something that came out almost at all the workshops that the minister attends, where the middle class, the general public, has no accommodation or the sort of the standard Aventuras type of accommodation. So that's something that will be addressed in the strategy, because all of those inputs will go into the strategy. And I think also out of the comments that we received from the honourable members today, quite a lot of them are relevant that needs to be added into sort of the strategy, so that we know that we address those type of issues for the future. As far as the training and skilled people is concerned, that was also an issue that came up quite extensively, that you get certain schools who do cater for that, and that's a matter that we have to take up with the Department of Education to get it into the curriculum, so it becomes a sort of a started motion in schools. So that we can sort of start training people on an early age as far as that's concerned. Training council and then Cindy Swan. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. I think there's two aspects that I've picked up that needs that information on. The first one is regarding grading subsidies. I'm not sure whether investment is, when you refer to investment, you're referring to the subsidy. But essentially, with respect to the 2010 Tourism Enterprise Partnership and the Grading Council, together with MATCH, had a memorandum of understanding where the Tourism Enterprise Partnership would fund establishments through their process of funding. fund establishments to be graded over a three-year period. And the funding was on a scale basis, Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, it was 50% in the first year, 25% and then 25%.
In early contract.
Yes. As part of the memorandum of understanding, if the establishment was contracting with MATCH, then they were eligible for that funding to be graded. Because the entry-level requirement to be on the MATCH database and sign the contract was grading. With regard to investment, the investment you're referring to is where you need to do maintenance or building, etc., in order to get to the level of grading. I'm not sure if the Department of Trade and Industry still has the incentive scheme. To my knowledge, that was ceased. But the with regard to investment, there is no funding that I'm aware of for larger maintenance, etc. In terms of the query around dissemination of information, the Grading Council piggybacks on workshops. Our first point of information sharing is through the provincial tourism offices and then obviously from the specific municipalities, local tourism offices, etc. And we do this by having workshops with those various points of information or the information centres. We also, and I know with the rural community, it's unfair of us to say we have a website because many people in the rural areas don't have access to those facilities. What we do have, though, is a system based around the country who are our foot soldiers and ambassadors. So, you know, we impart information and grading through or via them as well. I hope that answers the question.
There was a question around subsidies for upgrading hospitality establishments,
mm-hmm.
and that was not answered. Currently, we have what is called tourism incentives. It doesn't sit with the Department of Tourism, it sits with the Department of Trade and Industry. And for us, I think maybe the committee is responsible for the two, because sometimes it loses its forecast if it's not sitting with the sector department. It is something that we will appeal, because the committee is also responsible for what is happening in CTI. We offer view that if it's not fitting with the sector department, it ends up not addressing the needs of the sector. So the incentives that we currently have, they do not fit with us, they fit with the DTI. And maybe now that we have the Department of Tourism, it's something that has to be explored around how that becomes the need in this department. It doesn't fit with the department, but we do communicate with them. But it's difficult because it's sitting out there, because they have processes, and sometimes we had a bilateral with them when we indicated to them that they seem not to be supporting our priorities, and then the problem. So maybe the appeal is that maybe we need to explore how we can look at having that fitting with the sector department and ensuring that it's properly located, because it is there, but it's done by them, and they've got all the information, and we can even invite them to present to the committee on how it works.
Actually, yes.
Yes, the incentives that exist. And then there was a question also on the access for rural communities to the games. Maybe to get and how many this regard, because yesterday there was in Johannesburg, there was a conference on National Communicators Conference for focusing on 2010, and SABC presented there that sometimes we hear about the fan parks. Fan parks are only going to be in whole cities, but there's nothing stopping each and every municipality from applying to SABC to have a signal so that even smaller communities can be able to see the games in their respective areas. So SABC made that commitment that they are willing to make sure that each and every South African has access, not only whole cities. So they've got a unit at SABC responsible for 2010, and they've indicated that if municipalities call them, then they can assist them in setting up systems that will ensure that they have access to signals that will also enable them to move forward. And then the other issue on, I want to also add on what the acting DG has said on the Aventura. We had a meeting yesterday last week with the minister. We call it social tourism, because we've looked at the domestic statistics. The majority of people, when they're interviewed, why are they not visiting attractions? I think 34% of them say they cannot afford to travel. Mm-hmm. And I think as a country, we need to do something. In the past, previous regime,
they had systems in place throughout Ventura, etc., which died down, and we need to be looking at revitalizing those. And then what we have done, we said to the minister, we will put together a proposal on the social tourism program for South Africa, which will begin to accommodate, because the minister is willing to listen to that, and it will also be part of the strategy around how do we make it possible for people who cannot afford to travel to also travel, and how do we also engage with establishments like medical aid, because travel is a recreation, but if you travel, you remain sick, makes you feel good. So they should be subsidizing that process as part of their medical aid, because if people can relax, then they won't be sick, so it won't take much on them. All those things. So we will be, and social policy will be looking at those issues around how do we make it possible, and then it's going to be integral part of the strategy, and we can share with the thinking, because we've already spoken about it from last year, but it was, didn't move, but we can need to make sure that it happens, because we need to encourage more people to travel. And then the graduates, so the question is, where are they coming from? Six graduates. The graduates, what we've got a database of unemployed graduates, and then what happens is that when there's an opportunity that a day gets out, we request the candidates that are on our database to apply, and then based on what is required, the program in Canada, it's a Yale program where they were looking at graduates to expose them to risk counting. So people apply from that database. So maybe what we can do is to encourage more people to be registered, but we usually use that database. It has more than 2,000 unemployed graduates, but if there's any opportunity for international program that comes around, so we advertise it to the entire pool, but there's a selection process, so the six are selected based on what is required for that kind of training. So we use that. If maybe we're in agreement with Spain and they're looking at training program, we use that pool of there. So we will encourage more people to be registered on there, because we can't go publicly for limited.
Perhaps just on the process in Makhbanstad, if I can get some information back from the secretariat, I can investigate to see whether that was a project that was funded by our department and sort of investigate what is the issue.
Okay, we have about 1 minute. There are people waiting outside.
I just wanted to respond to your question on having technical training where people don't have to wait till grade 12. The SEC colleges are supposed to do that. Students are able to leave at grade 10 and follow whatever vocation, technical vocation, that they want to follow. Unfortunately, there is a blockage in the system in that SEC colleges are now being used as dumping ground for those students that are too old to be in normal high school. But technically, when you look at the SEC college system, it's supposed to accommodate students that have identified their vocation, a technical vocation that they want to go into, and they leave the normal high school at grade 10. Actually, I have a daughter who's 18, and she's on the SAT. She didn't finish matric, but she's doing matric through SAT. So when she comes out, she'll be an expert in marketing. So there is those programs, but I think maybe tourism, we need to, but there is that.
Okay, I think there are limitations though. You see, the problem is that somebody wants you to run it like to an SET or to so forth. Unlike schools, schools are there everywhere. So some things are going to be available in ordinary schools. It's just for the sake of practicality, because even then, you've got to pay accommodation for your child. If your child gets a bursary in Johannesburg, right, the department offers a bursary, it grants a bursary, your child will come stranded in Johannesburg with accommodation. And then they land in some difficult situations in some places. So I was saying that let us just try and use the available facilities maximally, because it looks like we are not using what is there. But after having said that, I think it's time to close the meeting. And I'm aware that there are some people who still want to be clarified about some things, but I think time is a limited
addressed at a certain time, it will expire, and then we are going to have an interaction with the department on certain specific issues. Once we get more used to the portfolio, because we are not really used to the different areas of the portfolio. Once we get used, then we are going to zoom in to that particular area. Areas concerning the World Cup is not over. We are going to interact with already there are plans to meet with sports and recreation, environment, police, and those types of organizations as a study group. So those questions are going to be answered there. In as far as tourism is concerned, they are just a phone call away. We can make arrangements and see on their availability and then set up a meeting. So that is not a problem. And we are still going to have workshops. We're supposed to have a workshop, but for some reasons then things did not gel up, and we are still going to have that type of workshop where we are going to enrich our approach in as far as Westfield is concerned. So with those few words, I thank the department, I thank everyone that has attended this meeting, and to those that are going to fly out, I wish you a good flight. And the question of congestion at the airport, I think Honorable Kumbo was misunderstood. In some instances, you find that when you go to the airport, there is large traffic of people. You find that they do not, that some counters are empty, say six counters are empty, and you have the lions there. Or you have the Comrades Marathon. And then a number of these things. So now they do not respond to
the demand.
So now I think it's something that they've got to be made aware of. Perhaps their management has got to be more project inclined rather than just general management. 5 days a week. Expecting this year, and then they break at lunch and so forth. For some of these times, they've got to have a different management approach. I think that message has got to go to SAA.
Thank you.
Sure.
And you are from
the Parliament Monitoring Group. We are the only
and also to you, actually to you.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much.